Reaching Out Ministries. I'm putting the trumpet to my mouth, calling for the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
When burdens come so hard to bear, friend can share, tears drive away the smiles and leave my heart in pain. Then my Lord from heaven above speaks to me in tones of love, wipes the tears away and makes me smile again. I need no mansion here below, for Jesus said that I could go to a home played upon the harps in glory land. Oh, the thought to me is sweet that my loved ones I will meet at the ending of the journey here below. Seems I hear their voices blend in a world without an end. I won't worry when the time shall come to go. Said that I could go to a home beyond the clouds not made with hands. Won't you come and go along? We will sing the sweetest song ever played upon the harps in glory land. When Jesus comes to claim his own, I will move to my new home. I'll walk and talk with him upon the streets of gold. A mansion there is waiting me. Soon its beauty I will see in that city where we never shall grow old. I need no mansion here below, for Jesus said that I could go to a home beyond the clouds not made with hands. Come and go along, we will sing the sweetest song ever played upon the harps in glory land. Won't you come and go along, we will sing the sweetest song ever played upon the harps in glory land.
On today's program, I will be teaching on Romans chapter 13. Over the last few weeks, I've heard some preachers on the internet teaching on how we must obey the government regardless what laws they bring out. Well, when we study history, we can clearly see that many, many preachers in the past chose to not follow the government's rules. For those of us who know history will understand that the American Revolution started by a pastor who fired the first shot when they brought forth too many laws and regulations. They denied the government of their day their taxes. They revolted, and thus America was born. The Apostle Paul, who wrote Romans chapter 13, was in prison for breaking the laws of the land. It was against Christianity. You weren't allowed to be a Christian, and you weren't allowed to preach the gospel. He actually lost his life for that reason. But before I get into Romans chapter 13, I want to explain to you what's going on today. I have, in the 1990s, when I was a truck driver, I received some cassette tapes that were explaining the things that we're seeing now, almost to the T. And it became very depressing listening to them. The Bilderbergers, the Rockefellers, and George Soros, these guys had an agenda of bringing in a new world order. And now we're seeing that playing out in front of our eyes. Will these things come to pass? No, they will not. Because already we're seeing in the states where some states' votes have been overturned because of the fraud that had gone on. And it's not finished yet. They're now checking out a lot of those states in fraudulent voting. In some places, it seems, that's what one newscaster said. In some places, they didn't even care if people saw them cheating. They brought in trucks and truckloads of ballots, and all for Joe Biden, the Democrat. And they saw those for Donald Trump being loaded on trucks and taken to the shredders. Unbelievable corruption. And they didn't care who saw them. That's the strange part. What do those people have in mind anyway? Are they so sure that they're going to win that they don't even care who noticed the cheating? Well, these things have been prophesied in the natural world. And God also prophesied that in the last days, wrong shall be right, right shall be wrong. Men's hearts will fail them for fear of the things that we see happening on this earth. So we need to take heart. God is not finished yet. There are some things on ahead that will open people's eyes to the corruption, to the horrifying corruption that we are seeing all over the place. I believe the church will be ashamed of itself when it'll begin to understand how they remained silent in the presence of evil. Because Dietrich Bonhoeffer from Germany, when he was hung for preaching the gospel or for coming against Hitler, he said to remain silent in the presence of evil is evil itself. And that's what many pastors and teachers are doing today. They are silent in the presence of evil. There's another story I heard from Richard Wurmbrand, or was it from Popoff, one of those two who went to prison for preaching the gospel in Romania and in a Russian satellite country. The ruler of that country brought the preachers of that day together and told them that they should just follow their rules and everything will be all right. And one preacher after another got up to pledge his allegiance to the ruler and to submit to their rules. And then Wurmbrand's wife whispered to her husband, will you get up and wipe the spit off the Lord Jesus Christ's face? These preachers have been spitting in his face for the last hour. Do you want to wipe the spit off his face? And he said to his wife, do you want a husband? And she said, if I see the face of Jesus full of spit, I don't want a husband if you cannot wipe it off. And he got up and he proclaimed the truth of the situation. And for the next 14 years, he ended up in prison. Yes, she had to be without a husband for 14 years. But God had his champion there. How many champions in the pulpits have we here in Manitoba, in Saskatchewan, in Alberta, all over Canada? How many champions called preachers do we have that will stand up to the wrong that is being done? Look at the wrongs that are being done. The hospitals are being shut down. Only essential operations can be given, like abortions. Abortion is essential. These they are giving the women. But if you come in with something that you need to take care of, you're turned away because it's not essential. Many people have had their appointments deleted and postponed because of the so-called Corona 19 crowding that are going on in the hospital. Here in my own town in Steinbeck, the CBC has proclaimed that it was overcrowded. There's the parking lots are crowded. And guess what? We saw a man and a woman go there to check it out, and it's more empty than it ever was. I was there not too long ago myself. There was nobody in there. I was wanting to visit a person who was in the hospital. And last year, at this time, I was in that same hospital with visiting somebody in the emergency room. And the waiting room was crowded with people with flus and different sorts of sicknesses. But today, the place is empty. So we can see that openly with our eyes. So what are the champions of God going to do? Are they going to remain silent, or are they going to voice their opinion? I'm not telling you to be a Lone Ranger, to go out and make a ruckus and do stuff unless God tells you to. What I'm asking you to do is open your voice. You have a platform, and get on your face before God and seek him what we need to do next. So open your heart to this. And before I get into this message today, I will ask my Lord to bless it. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. And I ask you, Lord, that you will open people's hearts to the truth of Romans chapter 13. Help me to bring it forth so that people will understand. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 13 is a very interesting chapter that I have studied for years, and God has opened my eyes and my heart to what it's truly talking about. First, I'll give you an example before I get into Romans chapter 13, and then you will understand what I'm about to get at. The scripture that is found in Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 22, it goes like this. Wives, obey your husbands. That is a very interesting one, and I've studied that one, and I agree with it. But there's conditions to wives obeying their husbands. When the husband loves the wife, then, of course, she'll automatically obey him. But when the husband abuses her and almost kills her and verbally just makes fun of her all the time and all sorts of stuff that we're seeing today, I heard one pastor say, if a woman obeys her husband to the very point, even when he kills her, it's a great honor to God. That pastor needs his head examined. I think he needs to be put into a psychiatric hospital. He needs to be put into a mental hospital, as far as I'm concerned. But that's how people think, regardless what
happens. They go by that scripture. They don't check it out in the spirit. They don't check the rest of the scripture. So they simply say, wives, obey your husband, regardless what happens. With that being said, I'll take you to Romans chapter 13 and read these scriptures. It tells us in Romans chapter 13 in verse 1 and 2, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained of God, whoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinances of God, and they that resist shall receive them to themselves damnation. So here we are, the powers that are set up by God. We have to follow them. Every power that is set up by God is set up by God. So what about the Russian powers? Were they set up by God? They were brought in by killing many people. They were brought in by fraud. They were brought in by all sorts of wicked things. That is not brought in by God. A marriage where a husband almost half kills his wife, that wife is not subject to the husband if the husband doesn't love her. We need to understand these things. God has mercy and grace, and he gives you a way of defending yourself if these people are not following God's plans. In Romans chapter 13, listen to this. For the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. In today's society, we clearly saw in the last couple of months, in the last year, down in the States, the despots, the people that were rioting, they were basically burning down buildings, they were killing people, looting stores as the police looked on, and nobody did a thing. But when somebody went to church, they were given a ticket. I watched these things on TV and I saw it. Is that good? A good law by God? It says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. No, these rulers today are a terror to the people that are good. They are for the evil person. Will thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of the same. In our town here, people went to church. They did good in the eyes of God. And the law came and gave them a ticket for being in church. Is that government good? We all know the laws and the rules on how to social distance and all, which I believe is just something to control the people. We understand that, and a lot of us, and most of us, try to do that. But to give a ticket to a pastor for a couple of thousand bucks for being in church, that ruler needs to be behind bars. Just saying, that's my opinion. But God, let's go on with this. For he is the master of God to thee for good. Is he a master of God? If he's out there to kill babies in the womb, if he's out there doing all these, bringing forth these strange laws and rules that are destroying the country, is that for good? No, that's for evil. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. How come the criminal is not afraid anymore? They're out there doing whatever they're wanting. It's unbelievable. You watch it on TV. They openly go into liquor stores, take bottles of whiskey and walk out that nobody stops them. They openly go into stores, steal whatever they want, and there's nobody there to stop them. I saw it on TV. There's nothing they can do about it. But when somebody goes to church, or when there's a bigger gathering than five in your house, yes, they're there with tickets. What an upside down world. But if thou that do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. And I have a feeling, I know for a fact, the Antichrist will one day come, and he will have a sword, and he will kill those whom they claim to be evil, which are the godly people. They will kill them by the thousands. And God has given us a foretaste of what is going to happen in those days. This is just a dry run. This is going to be stopped by God. But in the future, these things are going to come to pass. So open your heart to these scriptures, study them, and the light will go on. You will start seeing what these scriptures really mean. So let the Lord open your heart and make you a blessing. Amen. Question has been asked me, how does one pray for the government? How do we pray for people who are doing wrong and they're causing a lot of grief? There are some interesting scriptures found in the Word of God, and we need to understand that these scriptures are there written by the Holy Spirit. Here's how the Apostle Paul operated. He gave us a good idea on how we should operate. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 14, the Apostle Paul is talking about Alexander the coppersmith. Listen to this. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. So how is Paul praying for the coppersmith? Oh Lord, is he praying, oh Lord, have mercy on him? No, he's not. He's saying, Lord, reward him according to his works. What works did the coppersmith have? He had evil works. So what Paul is asking God to do is to reward the coppersmith, Alexander the coppersmith, with evil. That is very interesting. It is in the New Testament, and that could shake some of our theology. If we study Scripture, we begin to see that it is that the Christian is not as passive as some people make them out to be. They need to be warriors for God. They need to take matters into their own hands sometimes. Check the Bible, see if you're right, and then decree according to how God leads you. I believe God allowed Paul to decree this on the coppersmith because Alexander the coppersmith had crossed the line somewhere and he did Paul much evil. Now listen to this one. In Acts chapter 13 in verse 9, Paul was ministering to a governor by the name of Paulus, and he had a witch doctor who was giving him advice. And the witch doctor tried to stop Paul from preaching the gospel to him. And then here's what happened. In Acts chapter 13, verse 9, then Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, that's being filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. Thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist, a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. So that wasn't very lovey-duffy for the Apostle Paul. He didn't say, oh Lord Jesus, please bless that guy. Oh Lord Jesus, oh, have mercy on him. He said, you child of the devil, you're going to be blind for a season. Same thing with the coppersmith. He did Paul much evil. So the Apostle Paul said, let him be rewarded with evil. So open your heart to these scriptures. Look at them. You're not a person that sits there helpless and hopeless. You're a warrior of God when you become a king and a priest. A priest intercedes for people. They pray for mercy for people. But a king decrees judgment and decrees loss. And we need to be both of them. We need to ask for mercy. We need to decree judgment. We are kings and priests in God's stead here on earth. So let's step up to the plate, do what God commanded us to do, and we will find joy and peace in our hearts. And I believe at the day of judgment, at the day of the bema seat of Christ, we will be judged righteously. So open your heart to these incredible truths and become a blessing to those around you. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.